All right, Calvary, we're coming off the holidays. We're coming out of a week that was significantly disrupted by snow. Perhaps you know that might have happened to you. Was your week disrupted by snow? Mine was. Blake's was. That was a lot to move. And as we just kind of got a taste of there in our morning prayer, there's been a lot going on in the lives of our church family recently here. So, you know, there just wasn't really time for me to prepare a very well-researched sermon for you this morning. So today, what you're going to get is a from-the-gut sermon from me. And really, that's okay because, you know, we're beginning a new year, and I've had some thoughts for us as we head collectively now into 2023. Big thanks to Paul Ramo for preaching in my place last Sunday. And you know, if you were here, Paul also jumped on that New Year's theme, and he talked about how God offers people a fresh start in life and just how important that is. And in fact, God will offer us fresh starts over and over again as long as we continue to come to him with genuine hearts. So a fresh start can be had. Praise the Lord. I'm not really wanting to call us to a fresh start as a church in 2023, because I like what we've been doing. We don't really have a need to set things aside that weren't so good and move forward or anything like that. But I do want to call us in this new year to reinvigorate. Here is the Merriam-Webster definition of reinvigorate. The word reinvigorate means to give new or renewed strength or energy to something. To give new or renewed energy or strength to something. Our mission statement at Calvary says, we desire to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore we will worship, pray, learn, love, serve, and share the good news. And we have been doing those things, but in 2023, I'm calling for us as a church to get reinvigorated about our mission. Let's breathe new life into it. Let's enliven our passion for it. I've got three areas of our mission that I especially want to call our attention to today, and these are going to be drums that I've beaten on in the past, and I'm going to beat on them again in the future, I'm sure, but we'll do that today. If you're visiting with us and not part of our regular church family here, don't worry, these things can be applied in your lives as well. So in 2023, Calvary, even more than we have in the past, I want us to be Jesus' hands and feet in Madison and the surrounding area. This is area number one of concentration today. How do we be Jesus' hands and feet? Well, we just need to think about how Jesus acted, what he did, where he went. And we need to duplicate it. So how did Jesus act? Well, Jesus loved people well, didn't he? And so the question is, do we? Do we love the people in our lives and in our community well? Are we treating everybody consistently? Do we genuinely make effort to believe in everybody? To be kind to everybody? To look for the good in people rather than to be critical? Do we control our tongues and seek to speak well of people, both to them and about them when they're not in the room? Do we seek to show love to people? You know, sometimes I think we think we're doing okay just because we have these general kind thoughts about people in our lives, but that's different than actually, you know, doing things to show love. Jesus loved people well. Do we? Jesus also gave comfort to those who were hurting. And we remember how compassionate he was to those he encountered who were grieving losses or grieving sick loved ones. He even shed tears as he spoke with the sorrowful sisters of Lazarus after he had died. And again, we've already spoken today of the many scenarios happening within our church family right now that involve people who are hurting. And there will always be even more of those kinds of things happening in the lives of people outside of our church family. Each one of those scenarios represents an opportunity for us to be Jesus to people. Now, we're not going to be physically able to respond to each one of those situations, but we can respond to many of them, I would think. We can seek to comfort these people. We can seek to talk with them, to pray with them. Jesus comforted those who were hurting. Are we doing that? Jesus also was a servant. You know this, the God of the universe, the one who is most worthy to be served, at one point knelt, took his disciples one by one and washed their stinky, dirty, smelly feet. Jesus was willing to be humble. He was willing to be in humble places. He was willing to be with people who others tried to stay away from. He sought to meet needs. He had compassion. Jesus served. Do we follow his example? Now, yes, the Bible does also teach that every person out there should be responsible. The Bible teaches that we all ought to be good workers, not be lazy. There is definitely a demanding side to God as well as the serving side. There's this side of him where he holds people accountable. Don't make a mistake about that. And so, yeah, you know, when we're in relationship with people who are needing help, sometimes we just help. Sometimes we strive to both help and also help those people become more self-sufficient. And maybe even eventually the right path is to begin expecting them to be more self-sufficient. It depends on the situation. However, I think we should note here that, you know, when I think about Jesus, it seems to me he appears to be someone who, if he's going to make an error, which he doesn't make, but if he were to err, I think Jesus would err on the side of serving and giving, on the side of giving grace. So we probably ought to be like that too. Are we serving? So in 2023, Calvary, let's reinvigorate our efforts to be Jesus's hands and feet. Christ followers, we are called to bring light into areas of darkness. Words that might mean something to some of us this weekend, we are called to bring order into areas that are currently chaotic. Okay? That's what we're called to do. Bring light, bring order. We're supposed to go out and do it. Let's get reinvigorated in these things. Another part of our mission that I want to highlight for us again today is the call Jesus has upon us to grow his kingdom. Grow his kingdom. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, "Go and preach the gospel to all creation." Why should we preach the gospel? Because Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And people desperately need to come to the Father. We need to come to the Father, and we don't get there except through Jesus. So the gospel must be shared, the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done for humankind. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, says Paul. And so Paul also says there that he's not ashamed to talk about Jesus. He doesn't shy away from speaking about the gospel with people because it's the best thing on earth for that person. For all people. So we grow Jesus' kingdom by sharing the gospel, by introducing more and more people to Jesus Christ, by hopefully leading them then into their own commitment to love and serve him. Ramo was on this last Sunday as well. He said that we need to be out sharing our story with people, telling people about how we came to follow Jesus and what he has done for us and meant to us. And yes, that's right. Well, here's a question that we must continually ask ourselves, I think. Are we making actual effort to help Jesus' kingdom grow in numbers? Or do we just talk about it? Are we making actual efforts to help Jesus' kingdom grow in numbers, or do we just talk about it? And then a second question, follow-up question. So that is, how are you going to bring people who need Jesus to him if you never build relationships with people who need Jesus. All right, I've got a check-in for you now. I'm checking in with you now. Last September, I explained to you an alteration of our small group program that your church board felt led to make. We suggested to you that your small groups might cut down to meeting every other week rather than every week during the small group quarters. Did we do that because we have changed our minds about the importance of small groups? No, we haven't. In fact, I still see small groups as absolutely vital to the success of our church. Small groups are where you will grow in relationship with each other, where you can get into knowing what's going on in each other's lives and actually speak into each other's lives. It's our opportunity to encourage one another. All of us have these situations that come upon us, and when you have trusted friends in a small group that you've grown to know over time, we can speak into each other's lives and, you know, offer suggestions. How does a Christ follower handle that? That's probably not going to happen on Sunday morning. Maybe in Sunday school, that's almost like a small group, isn't it? But boy, these small groups are super important. We say we want to grow our church. Do you know there are plenty of stats out there that say that new people who come into a church, maybe they're all excited about it, but if they don't make some close friendships in the first 2 years, they're gone. So, where are those friendships going to be made? Small groups, right? I would say that these small groups then are not only important for new people to join, but if you're a Calvary veteran and you want this church to grow, it's important for you to be part of a small group as well, so that these new people have good groups to go to where they can meet you and make friends with you and all of that. So small groups are really important. So no, the church board didn't ask us to go to every other week in small groups because we see them as less important. The reason for the suggested change was because we wanted to ask you all, and I did so in September, to use that freed up time in your schedules to find something in the community to be involved in, where you might have the possibility of meeting people who either need Jesus or need more of him. That was the point. I don't care if it's pickleball, helping out in the schools, getting involved in something regular going on at the mercantile, whatever. We just want to encourage you to get involved in something with that time that we tried to free up for you. And so now I'm checking in. It's been 3 months. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, and you're not intending on doing that, what is your plan to meet people and build relationships in the year ahead? Reality check for us. The people who are highly involved members of our church here, it has changed some in my 9-plus years with you, but not a ton. The category of highly involved has a lot of the same faces in it who were in the highly involved category when I came. And so here's the reality check. Those faces are looking older. As is mine. Fact of the matter is, if we don't start to grow soon and start getting some new faces in here, probably some younger faces, some younger families, our church will eventually fade. It's not an unusual problem. Every church faces this, or at least most of them do at some point in their history. But I don't want Calvary Madison to end up on the wrong end of this equation, do you? So in addition to our most important motivation of bringing people to Jesus, we also have this secondary motivation for growth as well. If we want our church to survive and thrive out into the future, we need to get serious about growing. Beating my drum. I shared this next thought with you before, and I'm going to do it again here. So you know there's this huge push in evangelical Christianity right now to plant churches. Our denomination is all about it. Many others are as well. Why are they all about it? Because it's been statistically proven that church plants lead more people to Jesus than established churches do. Why do church plants lead more people to Jesus than established churches do? The answer is simple, and I'll explain it to you. I was able to find online the procedures that the Southern Baptist denomination uses for their church plants, and I'm certain that other denominations have very similar strategies. The Southern Baptists instruct their, these small groups of people that start to meet their intent on planting a church. And the Southern Baptists instruct them to do the following. They tell them to pick a number. Choose a number of the number of people that they would like to see come to their launch service. So this is not coming to, you know, these planning small group meetings or even worship gatherings that small group might do together on Sundays, but this is their actual kickoff church launch Sunday. How many people do you want there? Take that number and then multiply it by 2. The denomination tells them then that number is the number of people that this planning group, the members of this planning group, need to build relationships with in the community before the launch date. If they do that, they stand a good chance of reaching their goal on their launch Sunday. The materials I looked at defined a relationship as meaning you know a person well enough to understand what they care about, what they hope for, and what they're afraid of. The document goes on to say, during the pre-launch phase of the church, you and your launch team will devote the bulk of your church planting efforts to initiating and cultivating these relationships. Why do church plants succeed better than established churches in bringing people to Jesus? Because they're actually out in the community building relationships. It's an easy answer. Calvary, we don't have to be a church plant in order to have church plant type growth. We just have to follow their strategy. Which, by the way, simply is doing what Jesus already asked us to do. We need to be out in the community building relationships. And then, you know, of course, we need to invite these people to church. And our next key event for you to invite people to is coming up in 2 weeks, by the way, Family Faith Night, January 22. We're going to have a Price is Right game. It's going to be awesome. Good food, as always. Who are you going to invite to come with you? And of course, here then is where I always interject and remind you that when you build these relationships, the goal needs to be the relationship, not that person's ultimate decision about Jesus. Yeah, we're motivated to bring people to Jesus. That's what spurs our action. But when we get into those relationships, they need to be real relationships and independent of whatever that person would end up deciding about Jesus or about attending our church. We're not going to dump them on the side of the road when we see they aren't coming to Christ. Okay. They need to be real relationships. So once again, I'll ask you, are we making actual effort in our lives to grow God's kingdom, or are we just talking about it? How are we going to bring people who need Jesus to Him if we never build relationships with people who need Jesus? What is your plan in 2023 to meet people and build relationships? Boy, ultimately, you know, let's not forget that this really isn't about growing our church and keeping it going, although I want that. The goal of filling this building is so that we can gather with more and more people who have been brought alive by Jesus Christ, people who want to come in here and shout their praise to the one who has forgiven them for their past sins, the one who has adopted them as His own and taught them a new life-giving way to live, the one who has given them an eternal hope. That's why we want to see more and more people in this building. We don't have rafters, I guess, but we want the rafters to be shaking in this building from the praises of His people. Amen. Can you catch that vision? Yep. Are you willing to change things in your lives in order to accomplish it? Can I ask you to get reinvigorated in 2023 about growing Christ's kingdom? One last part of our mission to highlight today. I've asked you to get reinvigorated about being Jesus' hands and feet and about growing His kingdom. I also want to ask us to get reinvigorated in 2023 about hitting our knees in prayer. If we want to accomplish those first two things on that list, we're going to need to be doing the third thing. We want God to be the one leading us to the people who need to be loved and comforted and served. We want God to be the one leading us to the people who might be ready at some point soon to accept him as their Lord. We want God to be the one leading us to the people we are supposed to invite to Family Faith Night on January 22. God's the only one who really knows how to most effectively build his kingdom in the Madison area. He needs to lead the way. We need to rely on him. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Psalm 127:1. So yeah, if we want to see fruit in these things, if we want to see fruit in our lives, we need to be attached to the vine through prayer. Not here to teach on prayer this morning, but to call you to a reinvigorated dedication to praying in 2023. And appropriately, we're offering an opportunity to focus in on prayer here as we start out the new year with this 21 days of prayer event that you've already heard this morning begins tomorrow. The theme of our 21 days of prayer effort this year is pray first. And the idea behind that is, instead of acting on things in our lives and making decisions and then going to talk to God about it, what if you talked to God about it first, before you made the decision, before you acted? So pray first. How many wrong decisions might we avoid in our lives if we spent time praying to God about those things ahead of time? So to assist you in cultivating your prayer life or reinvigorating it, for the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, and actually I'll be sending the one for tomorrow out tonight, you'll be receiving a daily devotional email that is prayer-focused. Now, you need to be on our church email list to receive those, so talk to me if you're not. Also, as we've done in the past, our church sanctuary will be open for you to come and pray in each Saturday during these 21 days from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have a bulletin board up here that you can post prayer requests on. You can also see what other people have posted and pray over those things while you're here. And we'll have a short prayer service at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, January 21, that you're all invited to attend. Another check-in now. Also in September, I asked that you might all join me in praying two prayers to start out each day, if you were willing. Prayer number one was that God would bring our community alive in him. And prayer number two was that he would grow our church. Checking in 3 months later, have you been doing that? Would you be willing to do that through the next 21 days and beyond? Again, the two prayers are that God would bring our community alive in him, and two, that he would grow our church. Let's be that persistent widow that Jesus told a story about and keep knocking on his door on these two things. So I think he'll answer for doing that together. Do you still believe that God hears prayers? Do you still believe that God answers prayers? Then let's hit our knees in 2023 and be involved in changing the course of events in this part of the world that we live in by being dedicated, praying people. This is part of the mission he gave to us, and I'm calling for us to get reinvigorated about prayer. All right, church family, as I wrap up here, I just want to say, and I know you feel this way too, I just deeply desire for our church to be different than what, unfortunately, a good number of churches in this world are like. I don't want us to be a church that just talks about Jesus and his teachings. I want us to be a church that does his teachings. I don't want us to show up every week and talk about how Jesus calls us to love others. I want us to be out loving others. Don't want us to show up every week and talk about how God asks us to comfort those who are hurting. I want us to be out comforting those who are hurting. I don't want us to show up each week and talk about how Jesus asked us to serve. I want us to be out serving. I don't want us to show up each week and just talk about how Jesus asked us to share the gospel, get people saved, make disciples. I want us to actually be doing it. And I don't want us to show up each week and just talk about how God asks us to pray daily. I want us to be a people who actually pray daily. And, I know that all these things can feel like a lot. It can be difficult at times, serving, comforting, building relationships. It can be tiring. And there are a ton of needs out there. You start engaging in this, you can get overwhelmed at times. I know. But we have a big God who has a lot of resources. He can give us strength and endurance. And you know, when you get tired, take some time for yourself. Take some time off from church work. Pray. Get to feeling healthy again and then get back out there. Man, these are the things that change the world. These are the things that change our lives, that change other people's lives. It's exciting. Why wouldn't we want to be part of that? And again, I know most of you are already doing many of these things. We already have a great church here, but that's not going to stop me from putting it all before you as we begin the year in 2023 and asking you to consider again the great mission God has given to us, asking you to get reinvigorated about it. God is good, Calvary. Let's get rejuvenated in our dedication to Him. Let's renew together our energy for being His hands and feet. Let's replenish our love for people, church, and reanimate our compassion for those who are hurting. Will you revitalize along with me your commitment to serving? May we reignite our passion for building relationships and bringing people to a great Savior, growing God's kingdom. And while we're at it, why don't we just go and revive our prayer lives too as we head into this new year. This is our year, Calvary, 2023. Lord God, move in this church body in a new and mighty way. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Guide us in every aspect of our individual and collective lives. Reinvigorate us, Lord Jesus, and accomplish your good purposes in us and through us. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.